You're listening to Business Banter Podcast live from wherever Conrad's yerba mate addiction takes us to. The only show with truly unfiltered behind-the-scenes business talk. You're here, my dear listener, as an entrepreneur who's craving knowledge and advice. But whichever way you go, you either fall asleep or your bullshit detector goes off. Besides raw business talk and interviews with experts, you can expect us to spice things up a bit and throw in a touch of banter into the podcasting blender. Real everyman's talk on topics ranging from China taking over the world to how can I replace coffee in my diet? You probably know the answer to that one. Be warned, no political correctness in this house. Enjoy the ride.
Exponentially, the advertisers are getting better and marketers and businesses are getting better and better at selling things to you and targeting you and finding your vulnerabilities, while our mind is not getting better at defending them. So today, let's talk about Social Dilemma movie, The Social Dilemma. It's available on Netflix since like 2 weeks, I think. I saw it just this past weekend. I also saw quite a few people I follow talk about this movie. The reason why I wanted to share with you guys what I want to share with you is because the movie is directly related to some of the topics that I already talked about and I made videos about, like reducing your decluttering, like digital minimalism and decluttering your desktop. It's also very much related to the quest that I'm on with this podcast, and the new name is Quest for Questions. And it's basically diving into the psychology, asking the questions that people don't want to ask. So like, why are we doing certain things, even though a lot of them seem to be very much irrational? It seems like we haven't thought about a lot of actions or habits or things that are accepted and normal in society. And I think this movie just touches on one of the big elements. It's not the only one that I'm interested in, which is the social media and how we are kind of living in society right now. I think just before I preface any comments further, I think the movie is brilliant, and I, no matter what you think of my comments today, I highly recommend you guys watch it. I mean, if you watch Netflix at all, and you know, spend some time or waste some time, depends on how you look at it, then I think this one is worth like the hour and a half or however long it takes to just get, I think I would call it like a dose of wisdom about the problem at hand with social media in like a one pill. Hey, this is Conrad, yerba mate addict, and before we dive into the notes that I took and the things I want to share with you guys, I'm gonna have a sip of yerba. So basically, I would say I would preface everything I'm gonna say about the movie with the fact that I don't believe that social media is inherently evil. So don't take me for one of those haters that is like, hey, no to social media, just go full on hippie and live in a jungle, or like they are spying on us and it's all just a giant kind of conspiracy to take over our brains. I think it's not that. I think it's a series of speeches, like small chunks of interviews they did with ex-employees of all the top social media platforms. So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Google. And these were people who worked on, not just some like bottom level employees, but people who are like high up in the organization, and they were responsible for either monetization on some kind of, figuring out like the engagement and growth. So figuring out how to get it to more people, how to get people to stay more engaged, how to get money from this business model. So this is a series of that, plus a little bit of like a story that's running alongside it. So that with like that's acted to kind of emphasize their points about it. And I would say the story is a bit too melodramatic and it's a bit too over the top, but I guess it serves the purpose of getting you to pay more attention to what they are saying. So I think it was used kind of in the right way. I hope that some people are not going to be taken aback by this because it's a bit over the top, but a lot of times that's what needed to create like an emotional response in people to really take this stuff seriously. So I think that the idea behind it was good. But what I wanted to come back to is that the people that they interviewed, the ex-employees, they also outlined also at the beginning that they don't believe that all the platforms were created with bad intentions and the people at the top are evil and they have evil plans. They think, and I also think that's true, that they were just created like someone stumbled upon something. And at first they just discovered some cool use of it and why people like it. And for the most part at the beginning, almost all the platforms where did a lot more good. They brought a lot more good than bad. I mean, Facebook connecting so many, billions of people, connecting them, also creating groups, also, spreading, kind of being able to keep in touch with people, sharing some useful content, staying updated. So I think, and also, for example, Instagram, then for example, sharing photos and stuff like that. I mean, the principle behind those platforms, I don't think they were inherently bad, but there were hidden problems inside that. And I think just recently in the last few years, they really started coming out because we've been involved with those devices or tools for long enough. I think now it's turned from a tool into something completely different, because tool is when you when you have a hammer and it lies there, it does nothing, and when you need it, you basically pick it up and you nail the nail to the wall or whatever. And social media is kind of different because it's not a tool anymore. It kind of uses you. Because the big concept that I taken from this movie is that if you don't know what the product is, and that relates to those social media, so you don't know what the product is, then you are the product. And that's the case with most of those, like all those platforms that I outlined, like Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, Google, is that at first glance, it looks like, they are free. They give you all this amazing functionality, all these possibilities, access to different, different people, to different tools in those platforms. And it wasn't the case from the beginning. So there's a couple problems with social media. The two big themes of this movie, and the two big themes of social media, why there is now a lot of negativity that comes along with it, is one. Is that we have something that's we have smartphones, and smartphones plus social media really get us super addicted to busyness, and they screw with our mental health because of the constant checking, and they are super super addictive, and it feels like it's almost impossible to stop it. So one thing is the addiction of phones and mostly the social media in the phones. So that's one big problem. And another one, which wasn't a problem since the beginning, is the advertising. So at some point, the social media platforms, they figured out, I think Facebook was first, they figured out that they can monetize their platform. So they started thinking, like, how can we monetize all this attention that our people giving to our platform? So how can we monetize the fact that, billion of people use it, and even though it's free? So if they figure out advertising, that they can sell basically the data about you, they can sell your attention to marketers or to businesses, and they can target you with their products, with their services. And that was the big turning point. And that's a big focus of this movie too, which is how this moment and then other platforms figuring out the same. So Google also figured that out at some point after Facebook, that they can also apply the same model. So they are in the same ballpark, and I'm gonna mostly focus on those two because that's where I have the most kind of my also in-person experience and knowledge. I don't use Twitter or Pinterest, so I don't know too much about that. And Instagram is kind of like Facebook. It's very, very similar. So let's break it down. So there was this creation of social media on all those platforms and Google, and they were running their lives and it was all good. At some point they figure out, okay, we can monetize it. And also at some point, everyone had access to smartphone, and we saw that people get super addicted. There was a point where the people at the top should have asked themselves, but at some point the people at the top of those organizations didn't stop to ask themselves the right questions. They didn't stop to ask, you know, key questions regarding the usability, what are some possible downsides right now? Like, what are we seeing? What are the consequences of what are we doing with the data of targeting? And that movie is about those people at those companies who wanted to ask those questions and even did. One of them is, I think, Tristan, what's his name? I think it was Tristan Harris. He was the ex-employee, I think, of Facebook or Instagram. I'm not sure, but that's one of the main people in that movie. And he was the person, I think it was Google. He was working at Google. And at some point a few years ago, he noticed that there are a lot of like problems with what they are doing. And he created a presentation and he spread around all this, like a lot of colleagues in his company in Google. And then he wanted the management to take a look at it and for them to step back. And instead there was a lot of kind of uprising, like people started agreeing with them, but in the end, nothing happened. So he decided to quit the company and go into go with his mission of trying to, you know, give different speeches across the world, now also be involved with that movie, and basically get people to become aware of a lot of the negative effects that the social media is having on us right now that are not being voiced, that are basically getting somewhere lost in the shuffle, like the big depression spikes, anxiety, suicide spikes in teenagers. He's trying to get people to ask the right questions. He's not saying he's got the answers or that social media is evil. That's why I want you guys to not take it the wrong way. What he's trying to do is basically for us to stop and look at what's going on. Because that's the key. Some of the big points there, besides the big two that I outlined about the addiction and the and selling our data to advertisers, is that humans are social animals. That's how we were able to evolve. That's why how we are able to survive, and that's how we were able to get where we are. Like if we were just loners and everyone was doing everything by themselves, we would have never figured out the things we have figured out. And we were able to advance the technology, we are able to invent new things and figure new things out. But the truth is that our minds, we haven't, like deep inside, we haven't really evolved too much since a few hundred years, since a few thousand years. We're basically, for the most part, the same. We just have a different sets of maybe values, society structured differently. But the core of our brain and how we operate and what drives us is very, very, very similar. But technology, on the other hand, and what for example, AI and machine learning and how we are able to analyze different set of data, this has evolved exponentially. And exponentially means that it hasn't increased and it's not increasing like linearly, so like slowly up, but it's just like in big chunks, you know, like 100x, 1000x. Someone said that our biggest kind of advancement in technology, actually, from all the different advancements for the past, you know, like 100 years or so, is basically our data processing power. Like it has increased like millions and millions X times. So that basically means that the platforms, the social media platforms that have access to the most data, because there are the most people there, and they constantly monitor what you do, what you like, what you don't like, where you spend your time. And so they are able to analyze that, and then they are able to sell that to advertisers. So basically, exponentially, the advertisers are getting better, and marketers and businesses are getting better and better at selling things to you and targeting you and finding your vulnerabilities, while our mind is not getting better at defending them. So you can clearly see the progression of the problem, that it's very possible that 5 years or 10 years ago, at the start of the platform, the social media kind of frenzy, it wasn't that big of a problem it could be just for the simple reason that we didn't have enough data and they weren't able to exploit our weaknesses so easily. But because everything's driven by capitalism and profit, then, you know, it kind of evolved the way that if you want to make profit, then you gotta exploit the vulnerabilities in order to sell things to people that they don't need. And because we are able to process a lot more data, and we are a lot better at analyzing, and computers, they can, you know, take so many things into consideration that our human brain is not able to. And they do it, and they can do it on such a mass scale that this is where the problem is created, and that's kind of like, I would say, the core of this movie. And the vulnerabilities that they are exploiting, there's so many of them. I will only touch on the several. But for example, one big thing is, you know, they discovered that there's been a huge anxiety, depression, and suicide spike among teenagers from 2009. And 2009 is basically the time where the social media started. And then I think it's another spike where smartphones became like just an everyday thing that everyone from, you know, the smallest kids to the grown-ups would have them. And the spikes are tremendous, like more than 100% in those stats. One of the key reasons for that, supposedly, and I think, as I said, a lot of these problems are more complex than that. But one of the keys there is supposedly that right now we are more connected than ever. So, you know, some of us have like, you know, thousands of friends on Facebook or followers or on Instagram, or people that write comments or like. So we are in a tribe of, let's say, 10,000 right now, while our brain is evolved to be maybe in a tribe of 100. The key problem is that we are not evolved to care about what 10,000 people say about us. This is just something that our brain hasn't evolved to do. We are able to keep track, I think, according to some different studies, around a couple hundred of people, of our relations with them, because that's how we, you know, we used to live, in the tribes of a couple hundred, like 200-300. And that's where we are able to keep track of. More than that, creates kind of a constant anxiety, because when you have 10,000 people, like, it's very possible that some people might not like what you do, some people might hate you, some people might love you, some people might be highly critical. You know, there's like so many variables. And before, it wasn't possible to have access to so many people, but now even the average person can get access to that. You can post on Twitter, you can post on Reddit, you can post on Instagram, and suddenly you have, you know, you are interconnected with so many people. And this is a huge problem, because, well, we come back to the same thing. Our brain is not evolved to care for to care about what so many people think. And a technology allows us to basically access that many people. So that's where, you know, that's where again we kind of go into the clash of technology versus what our brain has evolved to do and care about and be able to handle. Another big problem that people don't really talk about. I think there's a couple books now on that, but that I would say is one of the bigger ones, because one thing is adults. Some of us are basically able to say like, okay, I'm just gonna stop using my phone, and I'm gonna, you know, set up these routines and habits so that I will get myself off of it. But the big problem is where we involve kids into it that do not have this capacity yet, because they do not have enough experience, their brain hasn't developed, they were not taught certain things. They're a lot more malleable to the environment and things around them, and they get a lot more also addicted to things. So in the past, you know, kids would watch TV. And TV also had at some point the same problem, right? Like they also discovered something, like the people who created TV and programs, they also figured out a way to get people hooked. But the thing with them was, and the, for example, the cartoons and TV shows for kids, that they were regulated in the sense that there were some rules, okay, like this type of movie is, or like cartoon is for kids this age, and this can be used, the profanities can be used in there, you know, like certain regulations, because we had to protect the kids, even though it was, you know, obviously only to some degree. Like probably the best would be if they did not watch TV at all, but it's not possible. I mean, it's in this day and age, but at least there were some regulations as to what, you know, different age groups are able to watch, what they have access to, so they don't fry their brains. And now, when everything has moved to YouTube, kids are watching YouTube. And I even have a cousin that's like 7-8 years old. And almost every time I visit him, he's on YouTube watching some weird ass videos where they, you know, constantly swear, where they, you know, because he can access any video, and it's a lot easier. It's a lot harder to set up like some certain regulations there. Obviously, parents could do that, but it's a lot more fluid right now, and not many people, I think, are just aware of that problem, that it exists, because it's such a new technology, such a new problem that people haven't talked about it. And that's why this movie is so important, because it finally raises, you know, to the public and to the people this idea that, hey, this might be harmful, that even though most of the new technology is good and we should, you know, evolve and you know, try new things and use the technology to our best ability, because it helps us and it makes things more convenient, efficient, you know, that's how we are wired to be. And that's how technological advancements is able to happen. But the problem is that, you know, like when it comes to kids, we are just right now, there's just now the first generation that was raised with phones, social media, and that's the moment that we are first time seeing the results of what, you know, growing up with all this stuff can do to you. And the results are not good. And the indications, I mean, I don't wanna you know, spoil all the movie for you, but they raise some really wonderful statistics, and there's also a couple of books on that if you are interested in diving deeper into it. So I said, I just want to kind of keep it to the main points, and then you can do the rest yourself. Another big one is also the case of different politics and kind of opinions on things. And the big problem with especially platforms like Facebook, it heavily distorts our reality, in a sense that normally in the past you would have, let's say, a newspaper or a TV channel, and me and you, if we watch that same channel, we would get the same information, right? So even though we might agree and disagree with certain parts, at least we were getting kind of the same version of reality. While right now, the social media feeds are designed the same, the way that they kind of, they are flexible to you. So they change depending on what you like, what you don't like. They find a way to bring, you know, things that will keep you the most engaged in the platform. So a lot of times it's something controversial, or a lot of times it's gonna exploit your vulnerabilities of confirmation bias. So it's about mental models. You can, I'm gonna put a card link there. Confirmation bias basically means that when you believe something, you are more likely to kind of seek out information that confirms your belief. So for example, you can imagine that if Facebook has a lot of processing power and data about you, that they know, for example, that you are more, I don't know, conservative, they're gonna, you know, pump out more info about that, and they're gonna give you some articles and ads and things like that, that they will also get you, you know, super pumped for sometimes for the on the positive side and sometimes on the negative side, you know. But the problem is that me and you, we are not getting the same stuff, and it's very kind of, you know, watery. It just floats like there's, and the big key here, and that's what I also seen myself from interacting with people, is that the only way for us to live together and be able to function as a society is if we have some, at least a part of a reality in common. Like if we have some values and ideas and things in common, that's how you make society work. But right now, because everyone gets different things, and the whole point of it is to make you more engaged on the platform, the result of that is that it polarizes people. It polarizes them more and more. Like the statistics are that people are more divided than ever, and I believe, and in the movie that I also outlined, it's like one of the key reasons for that is because the social media is able to manipulate like what information you get so heavily that it distorts our reality, and it creates like this huge kind of discrepancy. So it polarizes people more. Where in fact, if you were to talk, you would see that, you know, like your opinions a lot of times not so much different. Like you might be leaning one way more than the other, but this way, because you are so getting, when once you are leaning one way, it kind of enforces that belief more and more. You become more polarized that way. The other person becomes more polarized this way. And that suddenly creates the case where we, you know, go out or we talk and we are not able to have a discussion. We are not able to talk. We are not able to meet and have normal conversations because everyone is so polarized. Like everyone is like black and white, you know, and that's not how we are in nature. And that basically creates the problem, the societal problem, where we are just not getting along. People don't know how to, you know, to talk to each other. People don't know how to have normal conversations. People don't know how to agree, disagree, raise points, you know, ask questions. And I'm seeing it with my own eyes really big time. You know, when you go out, meet with friends or meet new people, you travel, you see all those problems heavily. And I believe, and in the movie, that social media is one of the big, especially like Facebook, is one of the big reasons for making this true. And the last thing, and that kind of connects to that, is that according to some Twitter study, and they also talk about it in the video, fake news spreads six times faster than real news. So you can imagine how, and that has like, you can kind of make different conclusions as to why is that case. I think it's just because if something's like weird, controversial, new, you know, for our brain, it's just a lot more engaging. So it kind of exploits our vulnerability of something weird, strange, new, curious, stuff like that. Same goes for conspiracy theories. It's all exploits different kind of vulnerabilities in our thinking, our brain. But coming back to this six times more, you know, spreading the fake news six times faster than the true news, The huge problem with that is that, you know, once you look at this problem like globally and on a big enough time frame, it creates this kind of like a matrix version of reality that everyone has, that, you know, like if all you are getting almost is fake news, then at some point, one thing, it becomes almost impossible to find the real news. So it becomes a lot more challenging, and only, you know, some very small amount percent of people are going to do the work to do that. And then secondly, well, basically everyone then starts living in some distorted reality that's not actual reality. And then if enough people believe that, then it's like the person who actually thinks normally is the weird person. So you can see how obviously we all of us have some sort of a matrix, because reality is just how, you know, we interpret things, and there is no like kind of unbiased way. If you look at how we are evolved and how our brain works, like everyone has their own version. But the key is that we need some kind of a common version. And I think also the key is to have it as closely as possible to what's actually, you know, what's actually true. So like what's proven, what's possible, because otherwise you're just like living in clouds, and you believe things that are simply not true. And that's like one of my big goals with this podcast, with the show, is to try to ask the right questions, talk to the right people in order to kind of get to the bottom, to go down the rabbit hole of truth, to figure out like what's actually true. And it's very difficult, for the reason that, you know, one of the reasons is that fake news spreads faster. And now we've been going that direction for so long that it really is tough to find, to separate the wheat from the chaff, as the saying goes. It's just like really hard to separate the shit from the real. And basically the social media and the way it's structured and designed definitely does not help with bringing with getting out of the matrix. So yeah, so this in kind of short, I would say, is my review or my summary of what they talked about in the movie. Obviously there's a lot more points and ideas and things you can take away, everyone can do, but as I said, I recommend you guys to watch this video. You can make your own conclusion. Maybe it's gonna, you know, get you to dig more into those issues. Maybe it's just gonna, you know, be like a first spark, and then when you, in the future, when the problem arises for you or somewhere in your family, you're gonna look into that more deeply. I'm really interested, because this idea is very much connected to like Carlos Newport, digital minimalism, or like bullet journal by Ryder Carroll. It's just like going more analog, using the good of the technology but discarding the bad. And that's why I also made a video very recently about the, you know, the tools you can apply to your social media platform, or sorry, it's like desktop activity, your computer, workflow, to make it less distraction and eliminate the bad and the good. And I'm gonna try to make more of those videos if I come up with new ideas. So again, thanks a lot for watching. I hope this was kind of insightful and inspired you to either make some changes or watch the movie, and if you do so, and if you liked this video, or, and if you have some thoughts, let me know in the comments. If you watch the movie, or when you watch it, let me know also in the comments. And please also make sure to subscribe for more videos like that, so you get notified. And thanks a lot, and I will see you next episode. See you.
You've been listening to the Business Banter Podcast. If your immediate reaction after listening to this episode is either, fuck, that was some great advice, can't wait for more, where do I sign up? Or, man, I had the same idea in mind, but I assumed it's just me being weird. Thank you for sharing. Or, this bastard hurt my feelings, offended my delicate soul, and should be banned from the internet. Then it means we're on the right track, doing God's work. In that case, please like, subscribe, and do whatever is allowed by technology to support this show. Make sure to also bookmark the podcast page, business-banter.com. If you'd like to voice your opinion, ask a question, or just want to connect, shoot us an email at conrad@killercoldemail.com. Until next time, my friend, stay vigilant.